Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and it's coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs in real time? Online? Rocket can. You know, the Rockets can. They extend the series with the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. I would say no. I think Houston's broken. I think, the Lakers sort of took their heart. And you know, credit the Lakers for that. I mean, because they're the Lakers, because LeBron's on the team, they get covered in a different way. There's always a level of hysteria around a LeBron team. So when they lose game one to Portland, are they in trouble? When they lose game one to the Rockets, are they in trouble? The Lakers aren't good enough. I mean, look, the Lakers are a championship caliber team. Are they flawless? No, they aren't flawless. But they have two of the best players in the game, including, in my mind, the best player who's ever played the game. The most valuable player in the history of the game. You know, it's going to be so awkward when Giannis Antetokounmpo gets that MVP. Because everybody knows, you know, like, you can't watch LeBron James play basketball and not realize he's the most valuable player in the NBA and has been for a long time. And the fact that he only has four MVPs, even though four MVPs is a lot, is absolutely absurd. I mean, the guy just had the most playoff wins. Or he still has the most playoff wins, and he's going to add to that tally. But he just set the mark for most playoff wins, and he passed Derek Fisher. And I had some people go, like, well, you know, is Derek Fisher one of the greatest players of all? Like, don't be disingenuous in your arguments, right? Like, Derek Fisher, why did Derek Fisher have the record before for most playoff wins? Because he played with Shaq and Kobe, and then he played with Kobe and Gasol, and he was a winning player. You know, it's the reason he got a head coaching job right afterwards. But he was a very good winning role player who happened to be on great teams next to, you know, all-time great players. LeBron has the most playoff wins, you know, in large part just because of him, right? Because he was on teams that he took further than they should have gone. You know, that had no business going to the finals. We've seen him be the difference between the finals and the lottery simply by his presence or lack thereof. You know, the 2018 Cavs, the 2007 Cavs. You know, those teams shouldn't have been playing as many playoff games as they did or winning as many playoff games as they did. Now, he's also had some great teammates and been on some great teams as well. I mean, he played with the great Dwayne Wade. You know, Kyrie, obviously, was pivotal in 2016. Now, it's AD. And those two are just putting up numbers on a night-in, night-out basis. If they just get a little bit of help, whether it's Kuzma or Rondo or Caruso, you know, they're trouble because I think when the Lakers lock in defensively, they're the best defensive team in basketball. And you could see, you know, LeBron's commitment on that side of the ball right now. Anthony Davis is a sort of a defensive virtuoso for a big man. That's why, you know, I think that the move that ultimately shifted that series is playing more of those, I don't even want to call them small lineups because the Lakers aren't small. Anthony Davis is a center, right? Like, I mean, I know he's played power forward, but come on. PJ Tucker's a center, Anthony Davis, or Robert Covington's a center, Anthony Davis is a center. And they started the game that way the other night with Davis at center, and it allows them to get multiple shooters on the floor, multiple ball handlers on the floor. It helps Rondo because when Rondo's out on the floor, he's now out on the floor with other ball handlers, with other shooters. So like when in game one of that series, when Rondo played the big minutes, and I think I talked about this last weekend, I think it hurt them, but it hurt them in large part too because he comes onto the floor and they still were playing two bigs. So they had Anthony Davis next to Dwight Howard. So let's say Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard or Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee are on the floor. Well, McGee or Howard is a non-shooter. You put Rondo on the floor, that's another non-shooter. Now, two-fifths of your lineup, 40% of your lineup are non-shooters, which cramps the spacing. When you put Rondo out on the floor and AD's at center, all of a sudden Rondo is really the only non-shooter on the floor. And when I say non-shooter, I mean Rondo's proven he's capable of the wide-open threes. He'll take them, and he can make them every now and again, but he's not being guarded like a shooter. And so you put Rondo out on the floor with Caruso and LeBron, that's three ball handlers right there. So that can pick up the pace of the game. It can get them out in transition. It's three guys who can pass the ball. You know, Rondo's more of a creator than Caruso, but Caruso could throw those lobs. Caruso cuts off the ball. So it gives the Lakers more options in that regard. You put Markieff Morris on the floor, and all of a sudden you got another shooter in the corner. And Anthony Davis, you know, can have his way because Anthony Davis, there's nobody can guard him. And on the other side, he can switch defensively. So he's capable of picking up a guard on the perimeter, but he's also capable of anchoring the back line of the defense. And LeBron's like a free safety on defense, right? Like when things get tight, like if the Lakers wind up playing the Clippers, I think you'll see LeBron check Kawhi Leonard down the stretch of games. But LeBron's capable of doing that and taking on that challenge. But he's also he cleans up stuff defensively as a free safety. I mean, how many of those game-changing blocks did we see the other day? And when I say most valuable player in history, what I mean is not even just like, one, there's the fact that he's a one-man dynasty, right? Like, you take LeBron and you look at the teams that he's been on, and every team that he's been on has been competing for the championship. You remove him from that team, and they're competing for the number one pick in the draft. That was true in Cleveland both times. Miami's been the one franchise that's been able to respond after he left. They had a little bit of a funk, but you know they have organizational structure and strength. And now, you know, maybe even get a Miami-LeBron finals. Who knows? But what I also mean is, so the guy has the most playoff points ever. He's got 1,000 more playoff points, more than 1,000 more playoff points than Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. And you constantly hear how scoring isn't even his best skill. You know, hey, it's passing. And that may be true. I mean, he's the best passer I've ever seen. He's third all time in playoff assists behind just legendary point guards Magic Johnson and John Stockton. And then there's a game like game three of that Rockets-Lakers series where his defense is changing the game. And we've all seen that before. Blocked by James! You know? So other than free throws, he's mastered every aspect of the game because he's second in career playoff three-pointers. And I don't think anybody thinks of LeBron like a shooter, but that deep three is well within his bag. He shoots the deep three as well as anyone. As well as Steph and Dame Lillard by the percentages. So when I say most valuable ever, that's what I mean. He impacts that game, the game in so many ways. He can take it to the cup. He could set up everybody else. He could beat you with his passing. He could beat you with his scoring. He could beat you with his defense. He just puts an imprint on every aspect of the game. And, you know, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about LeBron James as the playoffs continue on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212 4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. On the other side, there's the Houston Rockets. And I've seen some talk about how this would be an indictment on their style of play and all that. I don't think that's true. Well, at least on the small ball aspect of it. You know, this is the best version of the Houston team. The one that they put out on the floor, the one that they had with Capella, wasn't good enough. Now, ultimately, this team is not good enough to beat the Lakers. But I don't think it's because they went small. I think going small gave them the best chance. It made them their most dangerous. But they have some other problems there. I mean, one, James Harden is a tremendous player. I mean, like, I know people go, again, people like to react to extremes, and Harden has had some postseason struggles. Doesn't make him a bum. I mean, the guy's an incredible player. He's an all-time great player. But as a great philosopher once said, there's levels to this. And of the players that I trust the most in the playoffs right now, I think it would go LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler. But, you know, James Harden also is being guarded in a certain way. And this is a flaw in the way Houston plays, is that Harden is the engine that drives everything for them offensively. So when the Lakers are taking him away by double-teaming him, the Rockets can't beat them elsewhere. They can't beat them elsewhere because Russell Westbrook's just not that dude. And Russell Westbrook's like a self-check from the perimeter. And the Lakers are just kind of leaving him out there. And they're like, all right, you do you, Russ. And that might be where they you know, miss Chris Paul. And you know, there's a lot to look at with the Houston Rockets and where they're at and how they got to this point. And James Harden deserves some blame in the end of the relationship with Chris Paul because clearly there was some friction there, right? But, you know, that team was probably blown up prematurely. Because who did that Rockets team lose to? They lost to the Super Warriors, you know, last year. And the year before, they might have been a hamstring away. You know, and that was the Warriors with Kevin Durant. Chris Paul doesn't hurt his hamstring. Who knows who wins that series? So the Rockets were, you know, a championship-level team with CP3, unquestionably. They didn't win the championship, but I don't think you could watch that team play and see how they played against the Warriors and say that wasn't a championship-caliber team. But because they lost, because Harden had some friction with Paul, they sort of blew it up to bring Westbrook in. And, I think it limits them more because Chris Paul's a better player than Russell Westbrook. Period. You know, he's also a guy you can trust with the ball in his hands down the stretch of a game. So even if Harden's not at his best at a certain spot, you could put the ball in Chris Paul's hands. Russell Westbrook's a disaster at the end of games. And, you know, I don't want to go too hard on Russ either. I mean, Russ has a place in NBA history. He's averaged triple-doubles multiple times, won an MVP. But, you know, I don't trust him down the stretch of games because he can't shoot because he makes bad decisions. And then, you know, Mike D'Antoni, he's going to this is probably his last year as head coach of the Rockets, I would imagine, if they're eliminated. And D'Antoni, you know, I like Mike D'Antoni a lot. I think he's an entertaining guy. I think he's a basketball philosopher. You know, he was ahead of his time in the way a lot of the game is played, and I don't think this is really his fault. But, you know, he's not the adjustment king. He's never been the adjustment king when it comes to you know, he's very stubborn in playing a certain way. And then I'm just not sure that the Rockets have any more adjustments to make. I mean, I suppose their adjustment would be to attack somewhere else other than James Harden, but is that really going to work for them? I mean, that's how they're built. They don't really, I mean, once they went all in on their style of play, they don't really have another adjustment. They don't have another move. They don't have another wrinkle. And they run into LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It didn't help that they lost Daniel House, who was one of their key rotation players. But that's not the Lakers' fault. That's House's fault. And, you know, ultimately, I think the Lakers win this series regardless of that. I'm not saying that's the reason that the series has gone this way, but it didn't help Houston. Whenever you lose a key cog in your rotation who can hit the three, who can defend, who can create off the dribble a little bit. And now the Rockets are sort of in a no man's land. Because where do they do? Right? Like, what do they do once they're eliminated now? Westbrook is not really a trade asset anymore. You gave up a lot to get him to move Chris Paul's deal. Chris Paul, all of a sudden, is an asset on the market who might wind up in Milwaukee or even Philadelphia or somewhere like that. Is Daryl Morey, you know, Daryl Morey's done a good job having a competitive team out there every year, but are they going to decide, like, that relationship is near its end? Are they going to decide, you know, a new head coach is going to fix it? Because I don't think a new head coach is going to fix it. And then when you look at James Harden, is there just certain limitation to his style of player? I mean, really, they're built around his style of play. Which is, you know, he's a fantastic player. There's hardly anybody in league history that could, you know, be the engine of an offense like that. But when everybody, you know, I saw the late, great Kobe Bryant commenting on the Rockets' style of play a year or so ago, and he was saying he doesn't think they're ever going to win a championship like that because everybody can keep that in front of them. They all know where the point of attack is coming from when one person is dominating the ball to the degree that James Harden has dominated the ball. So it's a real crossroads for the Houston Rockets. And a lot of teams that have run into LeBron James have gone through that at a certain point. Now, that look, it's 3-1. The series is not over. It's certainly possible that the tenor of it changes. I would have thought the Clippers closed the Nuggets out yesterday. They didn't. That's going to a game six. I still think the Clippers are winning that series. I still think Clippers-Lakers is going to determine the championship. But if and when the Rockets are eliminated, there are going to be a lot of questions about what's next in Houston. That's for sure. I mean, the questions have already started. I just, you know, ask some of them right now. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That is if you want to get at me there to discuss any of the things we've brought up on the show. The Wild Dog tweets in, seriously, AD should be the MVP, not LeBron. Well, I disagree. I mean, you look at history, LeBron has proven himself more than Anthony Davis. You look at statistics, the Lakers' on-off-court numbers are significantly better with LeBron than Anthony Davis. And you look with your eyes and watch the game, you could see nobody has an impact on the game more than LeBron James. And I don't want to take away from Anthony Davis, who's terrific. Who's terrific, but come on, we all know it. Are we really going to play that game? We really going to play that game? Tim Dawson tweets in, well said, Robin, you're totally correct regarding our mental health right now being precarious. Like I said, I, you know, just wanted to make sure I was putting the right energy in the air. So if you want to share your opinions on any of that stuff, feel free at Robin Lundberg, 855-212-4227. But talking some more NBA coming up next before we transition to the NFL and week one, because there are plenty of sports on the calendar. You can no longer make the excuse of, hey, there's no sports to talk about. That is false, not true, incorrect on all counts. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
He's not just another pretty face. No, really, he's not. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live here this morning on CBS Sports Radio. You can also grab the podcast, Apple Podcasts, radio.com, cbssportsradio.com if you missed any portion of the show. But right now, I'm joined by Stu Jackson, former NBA head coach, currently the Big East Associate Commissioner, and Stu, you know, after a Game 7 last night, you've got the Celtics moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Before we get into the little picture, from a big picture standpoint, how impressed have you been by the quality of basketball we've seen from the NBA in the bubble?
Been very impressed, Robin. You know, when you factor in the fact, you know, that, you know, teams, players, organizations don't need to travel, I think it's made a huge difference in terms of just the quality of play. And what I mean is just the overall competitiveness, the quickness, the speed, the aggression, you know, consistently from series to series, game to game, has been really been fun to watch. And, you know, NBA playoff basketball is the best basketball on the planet. We all know that. But when played at this high a level, it's really something spectacular to see. I've really enjoyed it.
Now, when you do look at the Celtics moving on to face the Miami Heat, I have difficulty, you know, usually I'll have a feeling on who I think is going to win a series. I really have no idea who's going to win that series. At the moment, I might be leaning Miami, but that's just because the Raptors just pushed the Celtics, and it was, I think, a valiant title defense from Toronto without Kawhi Leonard. What's your early read on the Boston-Miami series?
Well, my early read is that, listen, I mean, they're certainly two of the best teams playing the best at the right time in the year. I think it's going to be, like the Toronto series, a bit of a defensive struggle. The Celtics are the best defensive team left in the playoffs, and, you know, the Heat are the second or third best team, you know, in the playoffs. I think the real key is, can Miami continue to score at the level that they have been so far in the playoffs? But I agree with you. I think it's a total toss-up. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, in many respects, you know, very similar styles of play. You know, you have stars on both sides. It's going to be fun stuff.
Robin Lundberg talking to Stu Jackson, former NBA head coach, currently the Big East Associate Commissioner here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out west for a second. You Clippers, you know, I'm surprised they didn't close out that series against Denver. But do you believe that the Clippers-Lakers series, if that does indeed happen, will be what determines the NBA champion?
Well, I don't know. It's tough to tell. I mean, it's a little bit of a contrast, Robin, in series compared to the East. I mean, with the Clippers and the Lakers, you have two very high-scoring teams, you know, albeit that the Lakers, I think, are the better defensive team, you know, overall. But I think that's going to be a completely different series. You know, who comes out of that, I don't think, is a guarantee to be the world champion, because those two teams in the East, you know, Miami and Boston, defensively, I think, are, you know, two of the best that, you know, that are left in the playoffs. And that's going to be a factor if you subscribe to that cliche that defense wins championships. I mean, watch out. I think the Western champion will be the favorite, but it's not a guarantee who wins that world championship.
Let's focus on the Lakers and the Rockets for a second. First of all, from the Lakers side of things, you know, there's been some talk about the MVP and everything, and Giannis had a terrific season. But I was one of those people who before, I'm not like now changing. I said to me, LeBron is basically the MVP every year, not last year he was hurt. And maybe there's been an exception like the Steph Curry year or something. But essentially, LeBron James is the MVP every year he plays. And I said, we're going to see it in the playoffs, guys. We're seeing it again. You know, as somebody who's lived basketball, you know, you've worked, you've lived basketball your whole life. Can you even express, like, in a way what we're seeing right now from LeBron at year 17, age 35, the level he's playing at?
Yeah, I can't say I really ever have, you know, to play at this level this late in the career. You know, by the time guys turn 35 or 36, they're in the process of trying to redefine themselves and reinvent their roles. And in most cases, players at that age take a different role, you know, on their team. LeBron is still the guy. He's a wonder of, you know, listen, coming into the league, you know, freak of nature athlete. We all know that at a very young age. And then what he's done to keep his body and increase his skill level year after year and improve his body has just been a real wonder and a real shining example for athletes professionally in all sports. I mean, what he's done is simply amazing. And, you know, the fact that he's grown as a leader, you know, he's continued to perform at a high level. I mean, you know, Robin, one quick anecdote. I mean, coming into the restart, into the bubble, LeBron during the restart games, he didn't play very well. I didn't think. So, you know, you sit back and you go, well, is this it? Is this the time that he's on his decline? And it turns out he's just simply laying in the weeds to the real game start. And ever since the playoffs have begun, I really don't see a whole lot of slippage from this LeBron to last year's LeBron.
It's incredible. I mean, there's even an argument to be made. He's playing at the a higher level than ever in different ways, right? On the other side of that is the Rockets. What do you make of the state of the Houston franchise right now? Because, you know, this was a team that was – they ran up against, like, the Super Warriors, and then they decide to blow it up with Chris Paul. I don't know, you know, how much of the blame gets tossed around there, but Russell Westbrook – to me, it is a inferior player to Chris Paul, especially when it comes to money time. There's questions about, you know, James Harden's style of play. He's terrific, but, you know, when everybody knows where the offense is coming from. And then you got questions with the GM and the head coach in Mike D'Antoni. If the Rockets are, in fact, eliminated by the Lakers, which I think we all expect, what's the state of that franchise?
Yeah. You know, my opinion is I don't think the state of the franchise is in a great place. You know, because they made a fundamental and really crucial strategic decision before this season to go small. Okay, this was the last page in the Houston Rockets analytics experiment, and you know, to go small and leave the franchise in a position where it doesn't appear they're going to win a championship. They're going to be left with a roster that is, some people may say, unique. I would say, you know, it's a roster that is incomplete. So I don't think they're in a good place. This was their last-ditch effort. And you brought up a very good point, and I've said this for the last 3 or 4 years about the Rockets, in that because their style of play is such that, you know, they're so heavily dependent on James Harden. During the playoffs, they are an easier team to prepare for. They're easier to scout. They're easier to load up on defensively one side or another, depending on where he is. They're easier to slow. I mean, one of the biggest misnomers is the Houston Rockets are supposed to be this high-powered offensive team, Robin. Well, guess what? They're like ninth or tenth in the NBA in the playoffs offensively. So they're not what their, you know, marketing, you know, they're not what their marketing says that they are. I mean, they're easy to prepare for. They're easier to defend. They're easy to slow down in possession games in the playoffs. And it's hurt them the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see where they do go from here. One more thing I want to ask you about, Stu, while I have you. Stu Jackson, former NBA head coach, currently the Big East Associate Commissioner here on CBS Sports Radio, and that's focusing on that current title. I saw ACC coaches, you know, pushing for an all-in NCAA tournament this year. Where are we at with college basketball? Where are we at with the tournament? I think that's sort of been lost because there was no March Madness and out of sight, out of mind, and all these other sports have returned. But, you know, what are we looking at for the upcoming college basketball season?
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the ACC's proposal. I would classify it in two words, pipe dream. It's just unwieldy and undoable, I think, from a broadcast standpoint and from a logistical standpoint. But it's a nice idea. It sounds very inclusive of all the teams in the country. It feels good, but I don't think the practicality is really there. But there will be a college basketball season. Right now, the NCAA is telling us that there will, in fact, be a tournament. And I believe them because financially there needs to be a tournament for the NCAA to survive. Not just for basketball, but for, you know, the Olympic sports as well. So I think we can count on a tournament of sorts. You know, when we begin, you know, the jury's still out. There's some speculation out there that we could begin, you know, December the 4th. I'm placing my bet somewhere around November the 25th that we'll begin the season. And the format with which each team and each conference takes in terms of how many games you play and when you play them, it's going to be a little bit of an odd year. I mean, you could see, you know, non-conference games being played as late into February. You could see conferences playing conference-only schedules for a long stretch of time, and then switching to non-conference. I mean, it's just going to be an unusual year. Should be a fun year, but at the end of the day, there's going to be a champion crowned.
Well, that's good to hear. Stu, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no, enjoyed it, Robin. Thanks for having me.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is. And Alan in Myrtle Beach, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, good morning. I mean, everybody's talking about the buzz with Cam Newton and Belichick throwing rose petals at his feet and comparing him to see how he's going to do against Brady. But I don't know if anybody knows, or I'm sure some people know, obviously, but the consecutive winning seasons is 20, held by Landry of the Cowboys. He went 20 consecutive seasons with a winning record. Nobody's talking about Belichick's got 19. If he wins this year with a winning record, he will tie Landry for the all-time season winning record. I think that's a important thing to note, but nobody's talking about it.
Well, look, I think plenty of people have given Belichick his credit as a coach, but here's what I'll say. I think people are underselling New England slightly. I mean, there's a lot of buzz around Cam Newton being there, and you're right. Like, you know, I've joked about the love fest that's going on, where over the years, it feels like anytime, and I'm sure he said better things, but anytime Belichick's asked about Brady, it's like, yeah, Tom's a good quarterback. We're lucky to have him. And meanwhile, he's asked about Cam Newton. It's like, Cam's the best person I've ever met. Frankly, you know, no one works harder and no one's more handsome. You know, like, it feels like there's like a different tone there with Belichick and Cam. But the Patriots were 12-4 last year. We act like this was like some epic collapse from New England and it all blew up in their face and it was a miserable failure. That's not the case. I mean, they outscored teams by nearly 200 points. Last year, they had an elite defense, and yes, things have changed. Tom Brady's not there. They had a bunch of players opt out. There is reason to be skeptical. They still don't have electric offensive personnel. But given the pedigree of Bill Belichick, given the fact that without being explosive a year ago, they still won 12 games, and given the fact that Cam Newton is going to be trying to prove something this season, I'm sure, and if he's healthy, I wouldn't doubt his ability to prove it. I do think people are sleeping on the Patriots a little bit. Like, who's to say they won't be right in the mix? I can't write them off. You know, I didn't see anything last year that made me think that's the end, other than Brady leaving. But Brady didn't, you know, if it was Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, I still wouldn't rule out New England, like, winning the AFC East. Because if, you know, what's happened and the lack of, you know, a solid proven team in the AFC. I mean, the Bills had a nice year last year, but are we sure the Bills are going to be good on a consistent basis? The Jets, Anthony, you're a Jets fan, right?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
How do you feel about the Jets right now?
Not very good, to be honest with you. I still have a lot of questions in regards to the offense. I don't think they have enough weapons still around Darnold, and some questions on the defensive side now that we traded Jamal Adams. And I'm just not sold on Adam Gase as the head coach of the football team.
I mean, I think this could be Adam Gase's last year as the head coach of the football team if things don't go well. The Dolphins, I think people feel pretty good about the Dolphins and the direction they're moving in. You know, Fitzpatrick starting the season, Tua waiting in the wings. Brian Flores seems to have inspired that team. But that's hardly a juggernaut either. So even if Stidham was the quarterback, I wouldn't have ruled out the Patriots winning the AFC East. With Cam Newton as the quarterback, they'd certainly be my pick to win the division still. 855-212-4227. So I am not selling short the possibility of Bill Belichick getting to that Tom Landry level. Now, with Belichick, there's some baggage mixed in too. I mean, you know, the Patriots have been cheaters in the past, so that's a part of it. You know, even last year they got caught up in some sort of thing that may or may not have been cheating. But Belichick's greatness is not in dispute either. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mitch?
How you doing, Robin? Thanks for taking my call.
first with the NBA, Clippers. I guess they had it in the bag. Come third quarter, they just fell asleep. I mean, they've never been in championship. They're like the Detroit Lions of the NBA. It's like I was gonna sit on the edge of my seat and they're gonna break my heart again. And the NFL, I think the Rams division is the toughest. I love the wide receivers in Cooper Kupp, underrated. Robert Woods, they have two good tight ends in Higbee and Everett. Goff, he's got to prove himself because I thought they overpaid him quite a bit. And it's a tough division with the 49ers, Seattle, and of course the Cardinals made a great trade there. You think the Rams can pull out?
Look, I think if you look at it, to be honest, you don't want me to be, and I appreciate the call, Mitch. I don't know what to think right now. The NFL did really go, here I am, and none of the traditional, lead up activities were there because there's certain things that trigger your mind in the calendar, the NBA playoffs being on. Usually the NBA playoffs end at the beginning of summer. And then you have this gap. You have this two-month gap, basically July and August, where almost nothing's going on. And, yes, baseball's going. There's an all-star game and stuff. But it's the midst of a long baseball season. Now the baseball season is condensed. Basketball's in the playoffs in summer. Everybody's entire life has been flipped upside down. And all of a sudden, the NFL started. There was no, here's the preseason game. Here's the ramp-up. Here's when you're doing your fantasy football drafts. It just, was here. And because of that, the coverage was different too. So you didn't consume things to the same degree. I'm going to favor Seattle and San Francisco in that division. San Francisco went to the Super Bowl last year, so they deserve some respect. And Seattle's consistent. Russell Wilson, to me, if I'm ranking the best quarterbacks in the NFL, it's Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson in that order. But those are the two guys. All due respect to anybody else out there, the season Lamar Jackson had last year. But those were the two guys I would take. So, I wouldn't rule out the Rams aren't that far removed from competing for the championship either. But, no, I would favor San Francisco and Seattle in that division. For sure. New Orleans in the South. In the North. That one's tougher. I might even say Chicago. In the NFC East, probably Dallas. Though I don't feel great about that. In the West, clearly in the AFC, Kansas City. And Kansas City, to me, might go undefeated this season. They're capable of losing a game because anybody can lose a given game. But I don't know if any team, is better than Kansas City that I've ever seen. Especially from an offensive standpoint. The AFC South, I have no idea who's going to win that division. Can Tennessee repeat what they did last year? AFC North, clearly I think that's Baltimore and Pittsburgh, as usual. And then in the AFC East, I'd pick New England. But, it's almost like cramming for a test, right? Trying to get ready for NFL Sunday tomorrow. I looked at the rundown before that Anthony sent me, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to make your NFL picks for the week at 9:20. So I will be making my NFL picks coming up at 9:20, but I forewarn you before, I will be scrambling to make them. I'm making them right before the segment starts because it just didn't, those natural rhythms. Your life is full of routines and natural rhythms, and they've all been disrupted. In a way, it's cool because it's like, oh, wow, the NFL is here. Life is resuming some form of normalcy. Sports are back in mass. 855-212-4227 if you want to discuss any of them. But, it's crazy, right? The NBA playoffs, tonight, the Lakers and the Rockets play game 5. Last night, you had two NBA playoff games in game 7. The NFL season started head-to-head with an NBA playoff game. I mean, that just doesn't happen. I wonder if the NBA schedule is going to shift permanently as a result of this, by the way. I mean, the next season, the earliest they say it's going to start is Christmas. And competing with the NFL is just generally not a good idea. But I think nothing's a commentary on how different this time period has been, and you know, the calendar being disrupted, than the NFL sneaking up on people. Because that's not a unique opinion to me. I've shared it. You know, Anthony was telling me before he felt the same way, and the audience, I think, has felt the same way, which is wild. Maybe Thursday was enough. You know, Thursday was like dipping your toes in the pool, and now everybody's ready to jump in. But usually that hype is building for weeks and weeks and weeks once the preseason starts. Now it's just like, surprise! NFL popped in for a visit. I'm very interested to see the level of play tomorrow, the engagement, you know, where people are at. I know a lot of people who didn't play fantasy this year who usually did, or are playing in fewer leagues this year because of all those things that I just mentioned. Here's what I expect to happen. I expect it to be gradual. I think instead of the hype being at the apex at the beginning, you know, it'll build up a little bit more this year because people will start getting back into their normal habits. We'll start, you know, really, oh yeah, it's an NFL Sunday. And you know, maybe it'll happen first week because of the Thursday night game. But I honestly think that the start of the NFL season caught a lot of people off guard in a sense. Because, you know, it's never started like that. It's never just come out of nowhere like that. And because none of us have ever, you know, been living through a time like the time we're living through right now. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. So if you're like me and you need to catch up and get ready for the NFL season, we're going to help you do so by talking to a 12-year NFL vet, Anthony Becht, coming up next. Get, you know, through all the storylines, get us prepared. We all need to do our crash course together because we got to be ready for that test. That is week one, opening Sunday of the NFL season. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.